This is Community Conversation. I'm Dale Gartner, and we're going to be talking about the next great concert with the Adrian Symphony Orchestra. I'd like to welcome into the program to talk a little bit more about it, the Executive Director of the ASO, Libby Watson. Libby, so good to have you back.
Hi, good evening, Dale. Thanks for having us.
As well as the Music Director and Conductor of the ASO, Bruce Kiesling. Bruce.
Dale, fantastic to be here once again.
Yeah, it's good to have you with us. Let's first off, Libby, mention about date times and where people can get tickets.
Yeah, thanks, Dale. So the next concert of the Adrian Symphony Orchestra is titled Appalachian Spring, and it's happening Friday night, March 14th at 7:30 p.m. The concert will take place in Dawson Auditorium on the Adrian College campus, and tickets are available online on our website at adriansymphony.org or by phone at 517-264-3121. We'll, of course, have the box office open before the concert as well for any last-minute purchases.
Sure, absolutely. Bruce, it sounds like this is very apropos because of the fact that, you know, spring is not going to be too far away.
Absolutely. We've timed this concert very well. And the concert is called Appalachian Spring, named not only for a wonderful piece that we'll be showcasing, but also what we are counting on being some wonderful weather, of course.
Yes.
And so we've scheduled and ordered that up, so we hope that'll be the case weather-wise. We know there'll be some beautiful music that night, though, for sure.
Sure. So, I mean, with Appalachian Spring, what music are we talking about then?
Well, as you know, we're knee-deep in our Aaron Copland Festival. So this fall, of course, we heard music of Billy the Kid, which was a big hit with our audience. We followed that up with Rodeo or Rodeo. We had a big discussion about how we pronounce that, but we settled on Rodeo. Had a great time with that. And then we've been diverging into our more popular concerts of Christmas and that great Star Wars program we did last month. And now we're back on, we have two remaining concerts with our Copland Festival, and this is the first of those. So Copland wrote a series of ballets, which really became the great American statements in ballets, and this is probably his most famous, called Appalachian Spring. And the plot of this ballet is a young couple goes out to the frontier and to kind of make their way in America. And I love that part of the story. It's very earnest, very sweet. He runs into some missionaries out there. It's sort of them just homesteading, making their way, and sort of the adventure of the original idea of America. I like to make a joke about it. You know, they go out to the far frontier, which at this time was, you know, around Pittsburgh, the west side of Pennsylvania, which was pretty much the frontier then. That's where this takes place. But it's really just, it includes some just absolute wonderful music. And we've heard several times that Copland had a way of incorporating tunes that people would recognize.
Uh-huh.
And we know that other composers like Beethoven and Brahms and Haydn, they would do this too. But when we hear their music today, we may not necessarily recognize the tunes that Beethoven or Brahms was using. But in this case, we know that we do recognize some of these tunes that Copland worked into it. The most famous one here is the tune Simple Gifts, or the Shaker tune, Tis the Gift to Be Simple, Tis the Gift. That one, which some of you know as that hymn. I know some people also know the Lord of the Dance. They'll recognize those words to it, which they sang. But that's incorporated into a really special moment of this particular piece. So the ballet starts very, very quietly, but it becomes, what I love about Copland's music, and we've heard this all year, is sometimes we have this grand big orchestral statement that you feel this sense of 60 musicians all playing together, and other times they'll just be two or three players doing something very, very intimate. And Copland, he traverses that difference of orchestration and texture so incredibly beautifully, and you're kind of swept up in the power of this piece. I just think that the work as a whole, when we're playing ballet music, you know, sometimes we don't always get a sense that, oh, this is meant to be played as a concert piece because it's so closely tied into the story of the ballet. And you're like, well, it's beautiful music, I guess, and lovely, but does it really compel me without that visual or narrative aspect?
Right.
And I think of all the things we're doing of Copland, this is the one that really holds up the best as a concert work. And, you know, a lot of times I say, you know, when people say, who's your favorite composer? I will almost always say, whatever I'm looking at this week, you know, Beethoven or John Williams, whatever. It's, you know, because I'm so in it at that moment. I'll be like, wow, this is really great. But if you really twist my arm, I will often say Tchaikovsky. And of course, we here with the Adrian Symphony have played a lot of Tchaik. But if you really ask my favorite overall work, it is Appalachian Spring.
Okay.
And there's lots of reasons why I think that's a surprise, not only because it's not a big symphony, you know, that we think of at Brahms or Beethoven, but it is all, this piece also ends quietly. And I have a little bit of a prejudice against pieces ending quietly because I always feel like the audience is like, do we applaud? Is it over?
Yes,
no.
Yes.
And, you know, there's all those jokes about, you know, don't applaud too soon. You'll get a dirty looks or whatever. Well, I always say no dirty looks in our orchestra. Everybody's welcome, you know, to applaud whenever you want.
Yeah.
And we love when people applaud because that means we have some new people in the audience. So I think that's great. So I want to applaud right back at them when they do that. But in this piece, it doesn't end with a big loud crash. You know, it ends sort of quietly, but really with this incredible optimism, which I love, and this hopeful quality at the end of it. And I feel like as much as the story is about this American journey of manifest destiny, I find in those last couple of notes, which are just this rising theme in the harp and the bells, there's just some beautiful optimism that I think encapsulates what makes us uniquely American in this way, and this hope that things can improve and get better, and I love that.
Yes.
Sense of making our own way.
Yes.
And I think all of that is captured even in this quiet ending. So because of that, I really do say this is my favorite orchestral work.
All right. So it's going to be the entire orchestra then?
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. So the whole group plays that. So again, we'll have over 60 musicians all together playing this magnificent work. And although some of it's really intimate and quiet, there's also some really exciting, wonderful dance music. And so much of Copland's music was influenced by fiddle music. Mm-hmm. So we get that sense of Native American and fiddle square dancing. That's all sort of incorporated into it.
Is that what they call Americana?
Yes, Americana. Yes, that's yes. The word. Yes, exactly. Which I love about that.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that makes him so distinguishable about his music too.
Yeah, and hopefully over the course of this year, we've gotten to hear some of that.
Yeah.
We have one more selection on our next concert, much shorter selection of Copland's, but again, that same thing, we tell the story of Abe Lincoln, so we'll talk more about that, but there's some of that Americana sound in that as well.
Very cool. You're going to be performing a couple other works too, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're really excited about the opener for this program, which is a short piece by an American composer named Rena Esmail, and Rena has done something that lots of people have struggled to do, which is to take this explosion of this interest of world music, and whether it's Eurovision or K-pop or all this interest that we have with these different kinds of musical stylings, which are becoming popular in the United States, she has been unique in that she's able to kind of assimilate these different kind of influences, in her case, Indian music, and combine that with the Western orchestra.
Because,
you know, sometimes people, as much as we may love those kinds of various styles of music, when we try to stick it in the orchestra, it's not a really great mix. Sometimes mm-hmm. you just feel like, oh, it doesn't always go together really well. But she is really trailblazing a way to combine those two traditions, this kind of the Indian classical tradition or raga. We know lots of people know Ravi Shankar, really famous Indian musician, and his whole family, Nora Jones and others that are all related to him. But we've seen such a sort of distinct classical tradition that goes way, way back and is every bit as deep and as interesting as the Western classical tradition that our orchestra celebrates month in and month out. And she is finding a way to combine those traditions, in this case, the tabla, which is a kind of Indian drum, a classic Indian drum, mm-hmm. and work that into a traditional symphonic setting. So this is a short work. It's only about 5 minutes long, and it's the last movement of a longer work that tells this sort of ancient story of a woman who believes she is, she's so devout in her love for one of the gods that she goes on a hunger strike until they open the temple. And so the god, he takes sort of mercy on her as he sees her devotion and dedication. So he brings up a big windstorm, and eventually the doors of the temple are opened because of this storm. And so she sacrifices herself ultimately in this beautiful dance as she makes her way into it because the doors were open. And this, again, is the last movement of that. So it's very, there's this real dance element to it. And the larger work, when it's done with a dancer on stage.
Oh.
When they just do the last movement, which is what we'll hear these 5 minutes, we don't have the dancer there, but you definitely will capture that sense of this kind of whirling, this thing, the storm that's building, but at the same time, this sort of the joyous ecstasy of that, all captured in this. So with as I said, a traditional Western orchestra, like we play every month,
sure.
But we'll have a special guest from Bowling Green State University, Dan Piccolo. He's going to come and play the tabla for us, which
is
this Indian drum. So It'll be really exciting and just a really interesting but exciting way to open this concert. I think our audience is just going to be blown away. It's really one of those pieces you're like, that was amazing right when it ends.
Exactly. You know, and I'm always fascinated by, you know, that type of music too, and the use of the drum too. It's just amazing to watch them actually play it.
Yeah, and I think, well, I know our orchestra's not played any music by hers. A few years ago, she was really just getting started, and I have some friends who worked with her when she was working with high school orchestras, just getting her first couple of pieces, and now we have just seen her name like everywhere. She's in doing, you know, composer in residence with the Seattle Symphony and with groups in Los Angeles, and she's really just very, very hot right now, so we're lucky to be performing her music.
Excellent. Now, usually you also have another guest artist on the program, too.
That's right. So our concerto guest artist, we're so excited to be welcoming a violist for this concert. Now, we've heard lots of violin and lots of piano over the years as our guest artists, but we're so glad to have a violist with us. Now, if you don't know what a viola is, it's like a violin, but just a little bit bigger and a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. And as you might imagine, that means that the sound is just a little lower, a little warmer and more resonant, and really, really a beautiful, beautiful sound. And we are so lucky because our guest artist, Matthew Lippman, he is one of the world's great violist, truly, really, really exciting, and a musician who, like Rena, his name is really getting around. I've had the pleasure to work with him before, and he's just a magnificent musician, and we're giving one of the very first performances of the John Williams Viola Concerto. Our audiences are going to remember the name John Williams because we've heard it not only last month, but also over the years, lots of film music, but he writes a lot of concert music as well, and about 20 years ago, he premiered this viola concerto with the Boston Symphony.
Wow.
And it was written for one of the players in the Boston Symphony.
Huh.
And so one of the details that you'll hear, there are two things. The violist that he wrote it for, she is married to the timpanist of the Boston Symphony.
No kidding.
So in this piece, you'll see a little duet for them because he said, well, you know, I know that in a marriage, there's always what we might call discussions.
Mm-hmm.
So he wanted to work at a little discussion between those two. And so when he first played the piece for them, you know, she commented, and she said, well, you know, normally I win our discussion, so I think maybe I should have the last word. So he updated the piece so that the violist had the last word in that particular section. And the other thing that's worth noting is there's a little highlight in the harp part as well, because at the premiere of this performance, it was also the last performance of the long-serving harpist of the Boston Symphony. For over 30 years, she had been the harp player. That was her last performance.
So
he wanted to write her a little something. So we see these little details packed into a relatively short concerto, but a really, really nice piece. And again, Matt's going to play it so beautifully. I know our audience is going to be like, they're going to start out saying, what's a viola? And then they're going to wrap up saying, that was really special and amazing.
Yeah.
So we're excited.
Well, we got everybody primed to come to the concert. So let's tell people again the date, time, and location, how to get tickets, and some thank yous too.
Yeah, thank you so much, Dale. I appreciate it. And you can hear even more about all this great music if you come early to our classical conversation presentation by Bruce Kiesling, our conductor. That's going to begin at 6:40. This is all happening Friday, March 14th, and the concert starts at 7:30. We've titled it Appalachian Spring. Tickets are available online at adriansymphony.org, by phone at 517-264-3121, and the box office will open on Friday night, March 14th at 5:30. Again, that pre-concert talk begins at 6:40. And we want to be sure to thank some special donors who have helped to make this and all the great concerts this season possible. We thank the Michigan Arts and Culture Council, the National Endowment for the Arts, Lenawee Community Foundation, our title sponsor this season, Planewave Instruments, and we also thank the Maurice and Dorothy Stubnitz Foundation for the guest artist sponsorship, which brings such high-caliber guest artists like Matthew Lippman to Adrian.
Oh, yes. Yes, it's going to be exciting. Just an all-around exciting concert all the way around, yeah, that's for sure. I would like to thank both of you for being on the program once again, and it's going to be on March 14th, 7:30 p.m. at Dawson Auditorium, Adrian College. Make sure you get your tickets, yeah, right away.
Yes.
Libby, thank you so much for coming onto the program once again.
Thanks, Dale. Have a great night.
You too, and Bruce Kiesling, thank you so much as well.
Thank you, Dale. Appreciate it.
This has been Community Conversation. I'm Dale Gartner. We'll talk again soon.